Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the Bald Gun Guy podcast. We're here to talk about Hitman. We're here to hit some men. I don't think there's anyone in this level worth hitting on, which is nice. Usually we also, you know, like, listen, you know, listen. I'm Six Datmar from Scanline Media. I'm joined by Ryan from the world, a very worldly individual.
It's I didn't know we would get here this fast, but it's Hitman versus the coronavirus. Let's go, baby.
Oh boy. And I'm joined by our Hitman expert and just general gaming expert, Ty.
I think we might have a case of false advertising on that one, but hello, I am here. You are joined. That part is true.
Hey, Ty, how are video games?
Jury's still out. You know that's, it could go either way at this point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a developing story.
Who can say?
Well, and here's the thing, right? We're here for the second, like, main level of Hitman 1. We're here for Sapienza. Specifically, the main mission is called World of Tomorrow, but we're not just here for World of Tomorrow. We'll have to discuss to what degree we want to discuss the other missions, because there's also the Icon, and also Landslide, and also the Author. This is the most used map in this entire trilogy.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and I also don't think it's very good.
I think it's okay.
I think there are two pretty solid levels contained within this level. I think they're both, like, decent, you know? That doesn't mean it's a great level.
I had fun for 2.5 play sessions. By the end of my third play session, I was like, I don't want to fucking touch this thing anymore.
It's such a weird level, right? Because it is, like, I don't know, you wonder if maybe when they made this level, they made it with the idea that they were going to do these other missions on it later, right? Because it is a huge fucking level. Yeah. And in the main story, so little of it is at all relevant to what you're there to do.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll lay the groundwork here. We're in Sapienza, Italy, which is, of course, not a real city, but it's supposed to be this, like, you know, picturesque, you know, I wrote here French because I'm an idiot, Italian city by the sea. And it's just like this, you know, like sunny, like, you know, bunch of, like, classic Italian architecture and, like, these cute little restaurants.
It's beautiful. It's where your mom wants to go on vacation one day, you know.
Totally.
And I just want to say, to sort of canonize your flub here, the first NPC I ran into was somebody who was trying to cancel their, like, subscription for something, and he was like, I'm on vacation, I'm out here, where is this, Guatemala, I'm in Guatemala and I'm trying to cancel my subscription. So
we're in this beautiful little Italian town, but it has a dark underbelly, literally, because underneath the city there is this laboratory built by the Ether Corporation, a corporation that, you know, is like a medical, like, biomed company, and they're building a virus. This virus is like it's Fox Dye, right? It's a targeted biological weapon. You give it the DNA of people, and it gets there and it fucks those people up. It's the ultimate assassin weapon. And of course, as a group of assassins, you're like, that's gonna put us out of business. So you have to stop them. Once again, we're kind of poking holes in the idea that this series is all about, like, you know, going after the rich. I mean, certainly the people here have a lot of money, but also it's very much pitched as, like, listen, if this works, ooh, our business is going to suffer.
In fact, one of the alternate missions is Caruso, one of the targets for this, hiring you to take out a politician. So,
That
was some interesting world building.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that in a bit. So our main targets, we have Silvio Caruso, who's a genius stem cell researcher, but he's also this like introvert who's like who's kind of a neurotic mess after years of abuse by his mother, who lived with him, who's now dead. He's building this biological weapon, and yeah, as Ryan mentioned, we also have in this set with Sapienza, we have a mission called Landslide, where he is the client. He hires you to take out a corrupt politician. We also have Francesca DeSantis, who is a scientist for Ether Corporation, who's just this evil libertarian. You pull up her details in the thing, and it's like, boy, she sure loves climbing the ladder and anybody who gets in her way. And it's just like, okay, sure, whatever. And she's here to help build the weapon, but that's only secondary. She's mostly here to see if Silvio has become a liability. And then, of course, we technically have a third target, because while you're here, you might as well break that virus, right? So we don't have to deal with that anymore. And that's...
And boy, is it the third target.
As we're kind of setting the stage here, can you refresh my memory? So what's the relationship between Caruso and Ether Corp? I know he's working with them. Mm-hmm. So is this like a contract basis here? Because he isn't like Ether Corp, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is like a world-renowned bioengineer, and I think he is working with them on this particular project, okay. But he is not fully their employee.
Right. Okay. That was my understanding. I just wanted to kind of have that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're set up with this big level, and most of it is going to take place within the Caruso manor, the mansion area. But if you want, you could go to an ice cream store or the church. The church kind of has some stuff. Or you could, wander down to the beach and just sort of waste time because it's not relevant to the mission at all. That's fun. Yeah. I don't know. That's so much of, I feel like this level is trying to do too much.
Okay, here's my initial thoughts entering this level. Was we did Paris, and Paris is great, but it was also, it's a well-constructed box to do things in. And mm-hmm. when I got to Sapienza, I was like, okay, cool, this is like a community, right? This is like a big open space with people, and they're just living their lives, and I'm working within the space, and I thought that was really exciting. Mm-hmm. It became less exciting when I realized that the way the level is structured is that you have sort of the outside world, and then you have the mansion, and then you have the sort of inside of the mansion, so to speak. And each sort of along the way, the sort of room for creativity dwindles as you're just focusing in on the areas that matter. And so I got really tired of this level after a certain point, because while the map is huge and there's a lot of possibilities technically, you still end up in one of three or four spots that the targets end up in, and then it always ends with the bioweapon. So no matter how big the space is, you end up being in three or four smaller spaces within that, and that got incredibly grating after a little bit.
Yeah, despite its size, there are a lot of like bottlenecks in the flow, choke points almost. You can do some cool stuff if you do the bioweapon first. If you go straight to the bioweapon and take it out, because then Francesca is going to come down and be like, "What the fuck's going on down here?" And it mixes things up a little bit, but it's still unless you go way out of your way, and there's only one way to go way out of your way, you can get the dongle and do the whole thing. But otherwise, you will always end up in the Ether Lab. You will always come up to the manor, and anything, as you say, anything you do sort of in the town is basically irrelevant.
Yeah, if we're kind of moving from Paris, as Ryan said, right, where you have this box, etc., right? This level is like a box with some kind of riffraff hanging off the side that doesn't really contribute you know, to the gameplay much at all, although it does, like, yeah, you know, it gives you some, like, vibes or whatever, right? And so I, what I felt like is the sort of, like, access to, like, the town and all of those, they were, they're just sort of, like, roundabout, like, ledges or pipes or something like that, but they just take you a lot longer to navigate, but they're functionally, like, used for the same purposes, right? As, like, oh, I can, like, go along the path by the plane or whatever to avoid the, like, double guard bottleneck over here. But then I have to go, like, all the way through the town instead of just, like, oh, like, around the corner in the Paris level or something like that.
Or, like, there's that wall, that, like, the, like, fragile wall that you can blast through with explosives
exactly.
have another way to walk into the lab, which is, like,
yeah, exactly, right? They're ultimately, like, fairly, like, familiar, just like, oh, here's, like, opening up an alternate route, but it, I don't know, it just they're just so much more cumbersome to use that, like, it's harder to integrate them, like, fluidly like into a route or even just, like, kind of the creative exploration compared to Paris. I don't know, that was
I think the way it works in Paris, I mean, there are certainly, like, roundabout routes in Paris, right? But they end up feeling sort of outlandish or, like dramatic in ways that these ones don't, right? Like, going through the whole thing of, like, you know, going and getting the dongle and, like, destroying the virus from up above doesn't feel that good, right? It takes a while to do. And you can compare that to, like, if you on Paris want to do the like the showstopper one, you, like, you poison the fashion designer and you go up on stage and you drop the rig on him, and that's a lot of work, but the moment you drop that rig, it's like, damn, shit is going down. You know, there's like a payoff.
Instant hilarious payoff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Whereas the payoff here is that, I mean, it is nice that I don't have to go down to the lab this time. I am incredibly fucking sick of that area, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few really good payoff moments in this map. Not to say that there isn't, but...
For sure.
Yeah, it's not, you know. Paris, you kill the two targets, you get out. This has a whole other sort of mission to it as well that kind of hurts it a little bit, and well, at least in terms of, like, replaying the mission and getting all the challenges and stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those things that actually, like, without spoiling too much, Hitman 3 has some missions where there's an objective that you have to do your first time through, but on repeats you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And I think this could have been really well served by, like, hey, on a repeat playthrough, if you don't want to deal with a virus, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But there is still some cool stuff here. There are some really wild opportunities here. Because this you know, the Caruso Mansion is full of drama, right? We've got the, like, fucking MRA golf coach Roberto Vargas. we've got the new psychologist. A little bit off to the side, we have Sal Falcone, the private detective, who is really funny just because, like, his whole thing is just, like, you can take his costume and meet up with Francesca and murder her, right? Which is, like, okay, fine. The thing that I find really funny about him is that the backstory is that he, like, always intensely researches a place before he goes there. And so no matter what costume you're wearing, he's like, wait, there aren't that many cooks in this town. Who are you? He's always suspicious of every costume, and I think that's really funny.
Yeah. Which path did you end up doing first? Because I ended up doing the psychologist first, which in turn revealed the sort of twist of the story, which is that Caruso... you know, he's sort of mourning the loss of his mother on the anniversary of her death. And then you get out of him information that he killed his mother because she was terrible. And he has this sort of weird guilt about it / not guilt about it. So, yeah, that's the one I ended up doing first.
Yeah, I didn't do that one until pretty late. I actually went straight for just full-on golf time, right? I got the explosive golf ball, which they just serve to you on a silver platter in this level.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, let me just put it here. and then I knocked out the golf coach, put on his outfit, and I went to the room, and she came in, and she was like, "We got to stop doing this," and then drank the champagne and died because I'd poisoned it. And then a second later, a Caruso whacked the explosive golf ball, and I just heard a boom and saw the little picture-in-picture of his body flying through the air. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm done here.
that's kind of funny. That was actually my first one too, because so for me, I hadn't done any of the escalations before I like sat down to play for this pod. I don't know why, I just hadn't, right? So In the course of that, I had a moment where I was like reminded that they give you the ball like right in the like safe house or whatever, and I was like, oh cool. So it was just like in my mind to do that when I was sort of completed all the escalations and went back to do the vanilla run. So yeah, I had the pretty much exact same experience.
I didn't do the golf ball until late because we got emails about it, so I was like, all right, I gotta see what the golf ball thing is. And it's great because I just sat there to watch it because I was like, all right, I need to see what it does. I mean, it's an explosive golf ball. The thing that got me, like, it's really good. The thing that got me was, so I just walked up to the cup where all the golf balls are. I just set it down. I hid behind a wall. And Cruiser just, it was the longest animation cycle. He comes over. He, like, stretches. And then he grabs the club. And he very slowly puts the ball on the tee, and all right, I'm gonna swing it. And then he just ragdolls. It's so, the lead up is so good. If you just said to watch it, they play it up super hard. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really funny. They clearly are like, no, you know what's gonna happen here. We need to extend this moment, and it's great. One of the things that I had fun with is I accidentally screwed up the first time. Because I was like, wait, I forgot I dropped this too fast. I need to get the coach's disguise before this all goes sideways. It turns out probably I didn't need to worry about it. Because What happened for me was the coach was right there. And he hit the golf ball and exploded and flew into the air. And the coach was like, huh, I'm going to go drink some water. It's like, what?
I did it with the chef's outfit and nobody suspects you. So.
Yeah, same. I realized when I was doing one of the escalations that you don't, yeah, he eventually just hits the ball. Like, you don't have to be Vargas or whatever, the golf guy, to get him to, like, trigger that. And it's, You know, the lawn is a fairly open space. And stuff like that is something that I really appreciate when it gives you the option to just, like, oh, well, I think I can get away with this, hold G, and have it work, you know, without having to, like, lock into, like, very specific preconditions. I'm a fan of that. For sure.
It's also just a really satisfying thing in this game when you know something is going to kill someone and you just set it up and walk away. That's really good.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I did the chef one where you like poisoned. So Caruso, he loves mom's spaghetti. And so he hired a chef, and the chef is trying to nail down the particular taste of like the sauce that her mom uses, and each time Cruz was like, this tastes like shit, this tastes like nothing like my mom's spaghetti, get the fuck out of here. And so you can poison that spaghetti sauce. And so I did, and I of course went to watch, and it was weird because I knew I had watched it before without the fatal poisoning, because I knew he was gonna go on his rant. And I was like, I watched the rant, and I was like, all right, I just got to do the fatal poisoning because this dude's an asshole. So I put the fatal poisoning in, and he still goes on his rant about how much it sucked. And then he gets up. He turns like 70 degrees, and then he does the sit down animation in the air as if he's going back down to eat it. And then he bites into like an invisible object, and then he dies. So whatever happened, they didn't incorporate the fact that you could be using lethal poisoning, because he still has to do his speech, and then he can pretend to die.
Solid repro on this, because I did this after seeing your tweet about it. I did the same thing, and it played out the exact same way.
That has to be something that they're like, ah, fuck it, ship it, who cares?
I also really like, you know how to get the spaghetti right?
No.
So there are the cans of expired tomato sauce. And if you get them and put them in the thing, if you poison it with the expired tomato sauce, he's like, this is perfect, you nailed it. And then just goes to puke.
Yeah, that's the joke. Yeah.
That's good.
Very, very funny.
But yeah, the baseball coach, the golf ball coach, I liked a lot. He's not the Bob's Burgers voice actor, but he sounds like the Bob's Burgers voice actor. So it's just like this dude just going, he's like debating on whether to call DeSantis, to like her room. And he's just in the corner, just like, but I'm Roberto Vargas. I don't call first. They call me first. Like this dumb bullshit. You just knock him out and you're like, hey, come to your room. I'll be there. Bye.
And then she walks in. She's like, hey, don't talk. And I'm like, thumbs up. Wasn't planning to. Yeah, that is actually one fun thing is, depending on did you poison the champagne?
I killed her outright first with like a gun, and then the second time I poisoned the cup.
She reacts differently to different types of poison.
Mm.
If you use lethal poison, she's like, what did you, like, she's like, the champagne, what did you do? Like, she knows she's been poisoned.
Yeah.
If you do the, like, emetic poison, she's like, where the fuck did you get this bottle? Oh, God. which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other fun things. Like, I think my favorite thing in this level is the plague doctor outfit, which is
kind of
only useful for challenges. But the fact that, like, in his little, like, observatory, he just has, like, a plague doctor outfit like on like a mannequin, and you can like take it and strike the pose and just stay there.
And you can there's the challenge where you can turn on his like childhood memories or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he'll tell his guards to like leave the room so he can just like sit there and cry and watch it. And then you can just walk up with the plague doctor outfit and just sort of just do away with him in the most dramatic horror movie fashion. It's really good.
Yeah, that one's great. I remember one of my first times being like, I should just fuck around in this game. I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start the mission. I'm going to go through the ICA like apartment and drop down into the area. I'm going to beeline for the plague doctor outfit, and I'm going to at all times have a knife in my hands. Let's see how far I can get. Pretty far. The lab turned out to be a sticking point.
Yeah, I bet.
A lot of guys with shotguns down there.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with when I was doing we'll talk about the katana plague doctor escalation, whatever, but yeah, doing a run where you're just like, all right, you know, this town is diseased with the presence of these doctors and their bioweapons. We got to cut it out. So just take the amputation knife and the plague doctor thing and try to kill every scientist and employee there. Not the like workers, you know, but every scientist, every guard, etc. And just do this, just running around as a bloodthirsty, you know, plague doctor from the Middle Ages. It was just really fun.
I mean, you always do your genocide run. How'd that go this time?
Yeah. So it's very easy. It's actually a lot of, it was easier than Paris for me, because you can basically like, you can jump between zones that much easier by sort of like circling back out to the town. Trying to think of one thing that I noticed for the, I was going to remark on this at some point. So I feel like there aren't too many levels in Hitman that have any kind of persistent environmental damage. So I found out mid-genocide run, I actually did a couple this time because I don't know why. So you can get in the hazmat suit, right? And just turn off the ventilation, and none of the targets will come into the room. But you can basically pull all of the guards from the lab area into their deaths, into the virus room, just by like making sure that everyone knows where you are, and you just hide behind one of the counters. They just come in by the waves, and then they instantly enter an animation where they're like, oh geez, and then they just fucking drop. Yeah, so that was cool. I hadn't actually noticed that it really worked like that, and that they would just file in. But yeah, I don't know, the they're otherwise like, if you want to avoid going through the town, that's why I specifically mentioned I was like trying to kill the quote unquote bad people. Because if you aren't willing to go through the town, like doing a genocide run, you get really caught in these like, yeah, the like specific choke points transitioning between the lab and like anywhere else, you know, the mansion, etc. That made the run kind of difficult. But yeah.
Yeah, I usually don't try to kill non-target people, but my second run, everybody in that lab had to go down. They all deserved it. So,
well, yeah, they're not, they may not have guns, but they're not civilians in the true sense. Yeah. Not that that matters. I mean, like, a true genocide run, everyone's going down. But, there was something fun about, like, doing, yeah, like, this other kind of pseudo-genocide run.
Well, and one of the fun options you get down in the lab, there's a challenge around this, is that, I mean, there are the usual boxes you can hide bodies in, and there are also just boxes full of acid that you drop bodies in, and then the bodies are gone.
Yep. That's a Breaking Bad reference.
Is it? Okay. Yes. Well, that makes me like it less.
the challenge you get is called the Heisenberg, which is Walter White's code name.
Yeah. Right. But it's especially fun to do with people who are just unconscious. Be like, bye, bud.
Yeah.
I have had a lot of shootouts in the corridor of the lab. a lot of people get suspicious.
The thing that also suffers as for this level for me is like, all right, I did my two kills. Time for to go to the lab. I don't have the key card. Just stop. just let me go in the lab, please, I swear. And the amount of runs where I did my kills and I was like, had to go back to like, Caruso's room or something to get the key card. It was just a lot.
So I gotta tell you, like, my default loadout when I'm, like, not really sure, either when I have, like, generic objectives that don't require something, like, a very specific hit, or I'm not sure exactly what I'm doing, I always go with both the lockpick and the key card. Because usually there are coins that are fairly, like, easy to hit, you know, because I don't do, like, speed runs or whatever. Like, if I need coins, I can go get coins. Totally. But having the ability to, like, not worry about that stuff. Granted, I personally, not that it's like a hard disagreement or whatever. I had no issues like getting the cards. Like I was just following routes where I could usually pick one up. But I like not having to worry about it. Like, and I'd rather have that flexibility than
when do you coins. Get the key card though?
The key card scrambler, you don't get in Hitman 1, you don't get an opportunity to get it until Colorado.
There you go.
So Ryan just doesn't have it.
Rip.
There you go.
It's good. When we do Colorado, you need to make sure you get that because it opens it kind of wide open.
Don't worry, I will.
Okay. Yeah. The card that I was getting constantly, so I was starting at the safe house. I was just going in, picking the lock to get the chef uniform with the guy, the idiot dude who's smoking on the porch, right? Like that initial
Rocco.
Thing. Rocco, yeah. So I was pretty much doing this every time just because I had just played the escalations, right? So I was going in, dropping through, and I was always going into the room with the plague doctor uniform, and there's a bio key card right there on the desk. And that was like, I was almost using that as like a fixed like little like Lego piece before I like went and did this or that. So I was getting it nearly every time.
Yeah,
like that little like sequence.
I was getting it off of Francesca because she just has one. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the other thing is, I mean, God, I don't know. Like, I feel like if they made this level, like, today, like in Hitman 3, there would be an option to, like, it's like, oh, in case the virus gets out, here's like, you get two keys and you press this button and the lab is filled with fire and you don't even have to go down there.
Yeah.
Feels like there'd be more ways to avoid doing that. But I will say, one of my favorite, I wish there was a story mission around this, it's just a challenge, but you should do it, it's very fun, is to trigger an evacuation so that Caruso goes to his little water plane, and then just to shoot it out of the air with a fucking cannon. That's very fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember doing that. Did it a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about anything else with primarily with World of Tomorrow, or do you want to move on to some of these other missions?
Let me see. Is there anything else?
I will note the mastery for Sapienza is garbage. Basically, all the unlocks suck.
Yeah.
If you want and three different types of gimmicky bombs, you can have them. But
doing the mastery is also bad if you're not doing the bonus mission. So, yeah. But I think that's pretty much it. That's all I have, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are more mission stories to talk about, but, like, I don't know. A lot of them didn't really capture my imagination that much.
Same. Yeah, I'm good moving on. Also, like, in my prompt, like, you know, if something comes up.
Sure. Yeah, we can always double back.
Yeah.
So the first bonus mission we got for this one is the Icon, which you've been contracted. So Dino Bosco, actor, director, pretentious asshole, is filming a comic book movie that's supposed to be his big break, only he's doing a shitty job and the studio involved is sick of him and wants him dead. So you're there, there's this, you know, like this set in the middle of town and people sort of crowding around to watch, and it's a much more compact version of Sapienza. I have my problems with this mission, but, like, just on a level layout, I like this version of Sapienza better because it just feels like the area you have has a purpose.
Yep. I totally agree. 1000%. Why do you have issues with the mission? Because I have, like, some thoughts on this, but I want to hear, I don't know, like, what...
I didn't really do anything in this mission because I felt like I couldn't do anything because... it felt like if I didn't know where the exact security guard or whatever I needed to get to where I needed to be was, that I was just shit out of luck.
This is pretty much my problem too. Yeah,
felt like a big gate that I needed the one thing to get past, and that sort of halted any desire to keep playing it.
Yeah, security is just too tight in this level to a degree that isn't very fun, I think.
Yeah, I played it for, I don't know, maybe like 45 minutes or even an hour without getting anything done, exactly. Which is pretty rare. Like, normally if I'm like struggling, I can just like, yeah, fuck it, pull off like a kill, and then like, oh, I'll replay it, you know, after learning it. Where this was like, it was ugly, and I was just like messing around. But I did kind of appreciate it once I like... figured out like a couple ways in. It is really dense though, and even once you're in, like the special effects area is also really tight, and you have to go there a lot for the for like a couple of the different like fun kills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was okay. Like I did enjoy it, but it was just like a little bit more like annoying.
I mean, if they just gave costumes a little bit more access, but like you would do stuff where like you're walking around the set as a cast member and you'd step like 2 feet to the left and another member of cast would be like, hey, you think cast can be here? Piss off before I call the cops. And you're like, yeah, what the fuck, buddy? I'm bringing you your coffee. Chill out.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I liked it a lot more conceptually than in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I had an issue with, like, I don't know why, this is the stupidest like objection to it. It's not a huge one, but the premise of the mission felt like trivial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this didn't feel like something that ICA would be like brought in on, you know?
Well,
like
I feel like it feels like, I mean, you know, playing previous Hitmans, it does feel like something the ICA would be brought in on. It just doesn't feel like something that they would feature in the game. It'd sort of be like, oh, you know, you did lots of jobs in between these ones that actually matter.
Doesn't, you know? Though? Okay, here's my question, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, and again, it's, I don't know anything about, like, movies, really, and, like, production and stuff like that. But it's like, if the guy's going so over budget, there's no way that studio is on the hook to continually, like, fund this over budget project. They can just be like, no, dude, you can't have any more money. That's it. It's not getting made. Because if you kill the guy, it's clearly not getting made. So, like, why are you bringing in a hitman to do this when you could just not pay him any more money and the production falls apart?
I mean, that makes sense, but I have to assume there's some sort of like breach of contract, like parachute clause, that like if they pull the cord, they have to pay him a bunch of money that makes it then like cheaper just to get him killed.
Okay, hear me out. Mm-hmm. Hitman 4.
Forever?
Hitman 4, you're on the set of Fantastic Beasts 3.
No one parody, is walking parody, away. Parody, Everyone parody, is my target.
This is in Minecraft. This is Minecraft, you guys.
That's it.
Okay.
I'm not going to complete that thought.
Everyone reasonable knows where you're going, and all the fill cops and narcs don't, so they won't call on us.
Yes.
Wait, I don't understand. What happens then? You get a starring role?
Yes. Yeah, okay, so on the positive, though, because I want to, like, I did enjoy this. I don't know what to call it, mission?
Or, like, just the icon. Just, you know.
Okay, yeah, the icon. I don't know why. There's something about the hippie apartment that I just really dug.
Yeah.
There are many of these, like, goofy little, like, one-off, like, you know, sub-locations, like, in levels. But this one was just, like, fun. Like, there's something, that, like, I have pretty, not even good headphones, but, you know, like, I'm playing with my headphones on, right? And you open the door and just this like, hilarious music is blasting. And I really felt they like nailed the, they really like sold that location. And it felt like a little bit above and beyond what they needed to pull it off. Like there was like, they enjoyed putting together this like comically, like, you know, full, like little room, and I was just like, that's cool. I just dug it. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a history of Hitman, like Hitman Absolution. I think the first level had like a hippie, like basically like a weed den that you ducked into and just like hid from the cops by just taking a big rip off of a fucking bong. So I think they have some affection for that sort of context. One of the other things I really liked is, so you always have the thing in these levels where the targets are going on their loop, right? And there are points where it starts to feel kind of artificial, right? Like, oh, you're going to check that you still don't have cigarettes for the sixth time, right? Like, okay, sure, whatever. But the nice thing about the icon is, like, the reason you've been sent to kill this man, the premise of the mission is that he just keeps reshooting everything and it's driving everyone crazy. And so it kind of makes his loop make sense, where he's just like, no, run it again. And it's like, no, this is why I'm here to kill you. It's because you won't fucking stop.
Yeah. I also, you know, this obviously isn't the only place they do it, but the sound design is really good because they have the NPC. You hear the NPC yell, and then you hear it over the speakerphone.
That
was well done in terms of, like, positioning and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
One thing that felt like slightly rushed is we're kind of used to how Hitman will do like overlapping little loops for like not, you know, unimportant NPCs just to like you know, force the player to execute things with a particular timing. And it felt a little bit like they just said, fuck it. In a couple of areas, the one that is coming to mind because I was there so much is behind the ice cream shop, like behind the cafe, right? Mm. Which is like the one area where you have access without any costume disguise. And it's the same two people come in to take a piss behind the thing, but it's like every like 30 seconds. And it's like, dude, you could have just like staggered. You could have like rotated like two more NPCs in so that it's not just this guy who's just, I don't know. They're like cursed.
Listen, with, like, Ty, have you ever had a bladder infection?
I don't think I'm going to answer that on the pod, but but like we just don't need to, you know, we can be epistemically barred from that either way. But yeah, no, I hear you, but it was just like, I don't know. It's just like, come on, man. Like,
no, I'm just being silly. Yeah, it is. It is a little absurd.
No, it's just a big ad for this, you know, bladder control drug, you know? Agent 47 here for...
What, depends?
My assassinations used to go 10 times longer, but now...
You ever missed the perfect opportunity because you had to use the bathroom?
Do you ever miss out on your son's graduation? Do you ever miss out on sniping the target at the perfect time?
Oh, boy.
So, was anyone surprised, since we're just kind of, like, taking the shotgun approach to discussing the icon, was anyone surprised when they sniped him, the target, in the mouth specifically, so the one area that isn't covered by the armor, but it still required a second shot? Like, basically just the head is coded as like a single region. Like, they didn't specify for where the costume isn't there.
I didn't get that with the sniper rifle, but I did get that with a pistol, where like I hid in his trailer and knocked him out, and then I just sort of pointed a gun at his mouth and fired, and I heard plunk, and I was like, oh god. And the guards were like, what was that?
Yep. Yeah, that's you know, it's fine. It's whatever. It didn't like sink the round, but I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like a bit of an oversight. I don't know. It's too bad, because I doubt they're ever gonna go back to these old missions and give them a little more polish. It just doesn't seem like they have much of an incentive to do so. But like, this is a mission that with a little more tweaking I would really love.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But and then
there were some one thing I think they could make, I don't know, I'm trying to think of any other example. Actually, I don't know why, because we're playing this in order. But there was very little. So, for instance, like on the explosive kill, right, where you, which takes a minute to set up.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah, right? So there's no indication about where the things are actually going to go off, right?
Yeah.
You just have to, like, know. And that's super stressful, and it's pretty rare in this game for me to, like, not understand how, like, you know, one of the mouse traps is going to work, or even where exactly it is. I don't know. That just felt bad.
It does.
It's like, okay, I finally have the detonator. Where, like, at what point? When do I press the button? And then it's, like, grayed out half the time. It's like, dude, what?
The grayed outness is weird and annoying, but I feel like, as far as... you know, like where it's going to go off. I mean, I do think it's a flaw, but I feel like it's also mitigated by you just quick save and try it out and see what happens and then reload.
I've gotten, like, I don't quick save anymore because when I'm playing on the hard difficulty, you only have one. Oh. So I had to train myself away from reflexively just save scumming, right? Because I would literally just do it like muscle memory and not even think about it. And that screwed me over. So now I like don't do it at all. I guess I could have. I forgot that you could save on escalations. Right, it's not escalation, it's just a mission.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah. I literally didn't do it once, so I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I have gotten very used to using it to milk mastery, where, like, I save when the target's in my sight, and then it's like, shoot him in the head, reload, like, fiber wire him, reload, throw a propane tank at him and shoot it, reload, you know, just, like, kill him seven different ways within, you know, a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Point. But yeah, moving on, then we have the next bonus mission, Landslide. This is the one where you're after Marco Abbiati, who is a corrupt politician running for mayor of Sapienza. I think he's already mayor and he's running for re-election, if I remember right. And you get hired by Silvio Caruso, who I guess at this point, you know, obviously this must chronologically take place before World of Tomorrow. Who's just really worried about local politics. What will happen if this man gets in office? And he's like, listen, I have the ultimate electoralism. Shoot him. And you're like, okay, deal.
Featuring the second half of Sapienza.
Yes, yes. This is the part where it's like, oh, this is why you built the rest of this level. So you could set other things here.
I didn't play a lot of it, but I really liked what I played. The fact that they specifically make a point to be like, but he's a right-wing politician, so it's okay. and just the the fact that it's like a party and everybody's out and about and like getting drunk and you know, just listening to music, just like hanging out. I really like that. I really like working in that space. I think it's really fun to do that. I did the malfunctioning the stage and then, you know, shocking him. And I did the lawyer one where you dress up as like fake Bernie Sanders and kill him that way. So it was fun.
My favorite one of the mission stories is the one where you you sabotage, like sort of take over the person who's feeding him like lines through his earpiece. And yep. Unfortunately, I was really hoping you'd get an option to just like get him to like say random shitty things. But what you do instead is like, sir, the mafia is calling. They want to reschedule your meeting. And he's like, what? And you're like, should I tell them you're busy? And he's like, it's the mafia, you idiot. No, I'll go to the meeting. And so he goes to the graveyard and then you just shoot him. But you get some good fun stuff from that where like you go up to the apartment. Where the person is sort of managing this, and you see like Marco walk up to somebody, and he's and the person's like, her name's Lauren. You're really happy to see her again. And he's like, Lauren, so happy to see you again. it's very funny.
That's really good.
Yeah, I think my favorite is, why would anyone know this? So I'm an avid fountain pen user IRL. So being able to go Joker mode with the fountain pen was sort of rewarding, and I appreciated the screen time, you know, that they gave to that. Mm-hmm. So initially I had the whole like political dimension to it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I'm not gonna lie, right? Like just because the way they said like right wing populist. In between, it was like, you know, sandwiched in the adjective, you know, series of adjective phrases that were like, you know, no good, very bad, right-wing populist politician or whatever, you know. And I kind of don't like that. Like, even if you're gonna tell me the guy's a bad guy, like, that's fine, right? But like the idea that it's like the game is telling me like which, I don't know, you know, regions of the political compass or whatever are like the no good, very bad ones. Yeah. It felt a little bit cheesy to me.
Like lazy, like shorthand.
It's like, oh yeah, especially, you know, like for content, I think, that came out, you know, during the Trump years, you know, it's like, oh gee, yeah, we, you know, those right-wing populists, they're just the worst or whatever.
Yeah.
Hilariously though, so I was like simmering on that. And then I loaded into the mission to do like another run, and there's a dialogue piece right in the very beginning where there's this guy, this sort of goofy, you know, sounding guy is like, yeah, well, you know, I'm a communist, but you know, I can see you voting for him or something like that. And yeah, so I was like, wow, they're really like foreshadowing like the post left here, aren't we? Or the rise of the, you know, class first kind of contingent, right? And I thought that was hilarious. I don't know if it was intentional or if they were just like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the idea that, you know, the right-wing populist would appeal to some, you know, literal communist bro, et cetera, was kind of amusing to me. But yeah, I didn't like that aspect of it, I don't think.
Yeah, I did not hear that line. That probably would have pushed me towards not liking it. Because then, I mean, so these developers on it are not American, obviously.
Right.
But that brings up to me the, like, you know, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are the same discords for me. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't need this.
It just is, it's very, it's not risky. I just think it's very, like, this game is not at any point going to go deep on, like, what are good politics. And so to try and, like, evoke it real quickly as the shorthand here just feels cheap. And
yeah, it's that aspect of it, really.
Like, it's, you know, problems with Ghost in the Shell aside, it's not that. Ghost in the Shell at least like tells you what a politician's deal is. This isn't that. This is very like, you know, he's a bad dude.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, yeah, you could literally take that out, right? And everything about like the mission is still coherent. Like that is not like, you know, a relevant or, you know, like, instrumental, like, piece of information in any way. Oh, corrupt businessman politician with close ties to Cosa Nostra, like, okay, like, that,
yeah.
That is enough of a justification for you as hitman guy to go do his thing.
Totally.
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I was distracted by, once I did the challenge, there's an electrocution-based challenge where you get him to go to the graveyard, and then he pisses on a grave of someone he dislikes, I guess. I don't know why he, maybe he just needed to piss and a grave was there and he thought it would be funny. And you electrocute him while he's doing that. And as I was doing that, I was like, so I guess what's happening here is that he's peeing onto the electrocution device and the electricity is arcing up his pee into his dick and killing him. And I just found that idea so funny that I got a little distracted from the bad politics.
Unlimited power.
Yeah, I smiled. I don't remember. Like, I know that there's some movie, some, like, whatever, like, whether it's comedy, I think it's, like, an action comedy or whatever, where they use that bit. Like, it was, it like, tingled some, like, part of my brain where it's like, oh, that's, like, a thing, you know? But yeah, it's hilarious. I really enjoyed that.
One line that I liked was when you're doing the stage electrocution, you're listening to a conversation that's like, make sure the water pressure is cool. And the guy's like, no, it's cool. Just relax. And the guy's just like, I never relax, and walks away.
And that brings us to the last bonus mission. And this one's a little complicated to talk about because there is a bonus campaign in Hitman 1 called Patient Zero. And this is not Mission 1. This is Mission 2.
Okay. To be real, I didn't do this.
That's so. Totally fine. So this is a mission called The Author.
Yep. I want to say, so I did not do this. I did not play it for this run. There's something wrong with my Steam package. I have played this. I've done Patient Zero. Like, I actually have vaguely fond memories of the church, like, in my mind, it was, like, the church level of Patient Zero, right? Like, I know what this mission is from memory, like, from a few years ago, but it is not unlocked on my game right now.
Weird.
Like, it's super weird. So I can talk about it very generally. I'm going to figure this out because I don't want to lose access to Patient Zero through, like, our podcast. I don't know what's going on. If I have to pay $10, I'll do it. But, like, I bought the Game of the Year edition that, like, includes that, and it's just not unlocked anymore. So my apologies. I realized it too late to do anything about it.
Are you still on 2, or did you end up upgrading to 3?
I'm on 2.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, I'm pretty sure this is the only time we're going to be playing it out of order. I think, like, the next mission we do involving the Patient Zero campaign is Mission 1, and thenceforth will be, like, it won't be out of order, but it also doesn't fucking matter because here's the story of Patient Zero, right? There's this cult. The cult is run by Oybek Nabazov.
Okay.
He's like, you know what? We need to kill a lot of people. It'll make the world better. Why? Unclear.
Okay. Oh, he's a
Thanos
he's,
logic. Yeah.
Fuck. Avengers guy.
Thanos. I think that's a little, I don't know. I hear you. I wouldn't have made that comparison.
Okay.
And basically, in the first mission, you kill him and his lieutenant, and then the other missions are just a bunch of other people in his organization being like, we have to avenge our leader and release this virus. And so this mission is two people, Craig Black and Brother Akram, who think that they need to unleash this virus and avenge him. The other three missions will also be this.
Okay.
So Craig Black is like a YA author. And he's he's doing this like what's the name of the book series? It's like Cassandra Brown or something, like supernatural detective books. He's doing like a reading and a signing at the church. Cassandra Snow. I'm sorry, it's a much better name. And he has his motivation is that he was convinced by the cult leader that actually everyone who reads his books is the worst and he needs to kill them all. And so he is holding this meeting so that he can secretly, after he can do this reading, he'll duck into the graveyard behind the church and meet with Brother Akram, who will give him the virus so he can go release it and murder all his fans. Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, this mission's, I don't know, it's a weird mission because it's like 90% about the church, and then Brother Akram's just in an apartment somewhere. And it's sort of like you're walking around the level, and it's like, what if the Sapienza level at night with even less going on, except for there's this one random apartment where if you get even close, there are like 50 guards who want to kill you. It's a little strange. But there is the fun thing where neither of these people have ever met before. So this is one of the few instances where you can kill a target and then use the target as a disguise, and that's fun. So, but otherwise, you know, it's a fine level, you know. It's whatever.
Yeah, from what I remember, the church part of the level, which is where like you spend most of your time, is fun. I know that's the kind of insight that, you know, y'all pay me for. But this is what, 3 years, whatever it came out, right? It's been a while. Mm-hmm. But I do remember liking the both ambiance as well as like NPC placement, like the, you know, the balance of constraint and freedom mm-hmm. that they strike in the church and graveyard segment of the level. I remember being into it.
Yeah,
that's about all I got.
Also, you can just attend a bad YA novel reading, and that's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, yeah, it's, I think it actually might be one of my favorites just for the humor. I mean, also, I guess, as a poet, like, I'm partial to, like, the antics, you know, that are on display with this little subplot, mm-hmm. but yeah, I dug it.
Yeah, I think, like, mechanically, it's not as interesting as some of the other levels, but I think the narrative stuff that's going on is really fun. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's all the locations that you go to, all the versions of Sapienza you manage to hit up. It's interesting to me, Sapienza, there is a large audience of people that say that Sapienza is the best Hitman level. And I think, having now played through, like, 1, 2, and 3, it is in contention for my least favorite.
It might be the most versatile level, probably.
So can either of you like make the case for why people like it? Like, what do those people say? Because I'm not really, I don't have my finger on the pulse of Hitman discourse, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so, like, I don't understand.
I feel like it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's, like, it's a huge level. Yeah. There's a bunch of cool stuff in it. There's, like, a huge, like, if you are, like, just sort of wandering around, there's a huge, like, exploration possibility space, right? And it's very pretty. And, I mean, I think it's mostly just, like, there are people who are, like, the bigger a Hitman level is, the better it is. It's 1-to-1, you know?
Okay. We don't need to invent strawmen because we have emails. So we don't. Do we want to move on?
Yeah, right.
Sure. Yeah, that's, get mad at us. Let's go for it.
Wait, are we talking about the escalations?
Oh, yes. Excuse me.
Oh, I didn't do them. So you guys go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there are. So once again, I'm just going to mention it from now on. I'm not going to go through them. Hitman 1 has 9 more escalations. They're not interesting. we got the Eccleston Illumination, which is sort of like, It's a slow build up where you're like, you know, you're killing people and doing hacking, and then randomly the 5th level has like the Plague Doctor Katana shit, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I feel like this is the only escalation that's really worth talking about.
Mm.
Is kind of my, I don't know. That's my take.
I mean,
I don't know. Like the sniping ones are not particularly interesting for me. Mm-hmm. Like I find them incredibly easy and just like mind numbing. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll complain about Gladwin when we get there in a second.
Yeah, so just real quick, since you mentioned it, Selassie Darkness is a sniping escalation. It's for one of those, it's fine.
Yeah, you go into the room, you right click, hold shift, then left click, and then you turn and you walk, and then you right click and you hold shift, and then you left click. That's it. Yeah.
But yeah, the Plague Doctor Katana stuff, like, I mean, I feel like Eccleston up to that point is, like, okay, like, it's fine. But just like this, the fifth level of difficulty, just randomly being like, okay, now do it as a plague doctor with a sword, is like such a left turn.
It's hilarious. Really funny. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, I normally hate escalations. They are so not why I play Hitman. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm already on record, and I've only had two pods. Right. So this is known. And so as I'm like forced to like grind these out, you know, getting to that where it's like, oh, do this incredibly goofy thing at the fifth was such like a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. For me, like, there was this moment of joy instead of some ridiculous, oh, here's a super tight kill window with the dumbest thing. It's like, no, go get the goofiest costume and stab people with a samurai sword. All right, bud, like, I'm sold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of subtweeting the Gladwin simulation, this escalation is terrible. So Gladwin simulation is like, okay, kill people, and then kill people with a timer, and then kill people with a timer, and there are landmines everywhere. It is like the classic cookie cutter bad Hitman 1 escalation. It sucks.
God.
So I have a special hatred for the landmines, because they're not just in this escalation. They use this like elsewhere as well, right? And I can do your dumb bullshit, right, of like the kill timers and stuff. Like, that's, again, it's not why I play, but sure, whatever, right? When you start to add like, oh yeah, there's this completely like immersion,
oh yeah,
breaking
the floor
thing.
Is lava.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, like, no, this isn't like, come on. Also, they lie to you, right? They tell you it's the garden that has landmines. So I'm like chilling in like one of the like outdoor corridors, like going in from the like front to the back area, like the transitional little hallways, and I just blow
then
up.
Then you're permanently chilling. Like...
Yeah, I relax, my guy. Yeah. It's just whatever. It's just not fun. Again, it's like, oh, okay, I guess I can hold control and not step on the landmines and do exactly what I was doing. Yeah, in my mind, it's worse than not having anything at all.
Yeah, landmines have... there are numerous escalations, as you mentioned, with landmines. They're always awful. It sucks. Don't do that.
I also don't know how to disarm them. Like, I got the thing, but I don't know, like, how to use the thing, so I just walk around them.
I don't remember.
Because I can't save, and I'm too lazy. Because I don't have that many starting locations unlocked. Like, I don't have the starting location unlocked that is right by the security room with the landmine detector or whatever. Or maybe I do now, but I didn't when I was playing the escalation. Whatever. So, like, it was kind of a pain in the ass to go there, and I wasn't going to, like, throw my run to, like, figure out how to use the damn thing. So I was just like, screw it, I'll just walk around them. Like, none of that is good. Like, I don't know. But again, like, you don't have to play these. Like, this doesn't, you know, none of the like Hitman like value proposition is contingent on these being good or even playable, in my humble opinion. So, like, I'm not miffed about it, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I didn't do them because I was so burnt out by Sapienza, so
fair enough. But yes,
emails. All right, first one is from Kyrie. She says, the exploding golf ball to me is peak comedy. There's something so simple and ridiculous about setting up the golf ball and watching the body ragdoll on the tee. The world of assassination is a funny place to play in, and I feel that the Hitman movies missed out on a comedic tone. My question is, when does the comedy of the series work for you? And for bonus points, if you were directing a short film based on the World of Assassination trilogy with a comedic goal in mind, how would you approach it?
So I am more, this is a thing that we've brought up in Paris. I think I'm more accepting of the comedy. I think I'm willing to go further with the comedy than my two co-hosts are. I think the Corky Conundrum is funny. Commotion, excuse me. I think it's fine when Hitman tells overt jokes as well as just like the implied silliness. When it goes too far for me, I guess, is like Landslide, right? When they feel like they're trying to do like fucking South Park cutting political or social commentary. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Hitman, humor-wise, has always been the like unique bits of dialogue that you get from NPCs. Mm-hmm. That always sticks out to me as like something that when I know I'm loading into a Hitman level, somebody's going to say some like off color stuff that I always really enjoy. So that always comes to mind. And on top of the like ridiculous kills and stuff like that is just the one off comments from randos. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I feel like if I were, I don't know, no one will or should ask me about, you know, adapting this or anything to do with, you know, film or whatever, screen stuff. But for me, like, you could play it a little bit like an old James Bond movie, with your, like, you know, your sort of, like, awkward, like, your straight joke telling of, like, wit, but then, like, filtered through... It's 47 instead of Sean Connery. And then you could append, I mean, the old sort of Connery Bonds have this with like the henchman deaths that are often hilarious. That I think you could just kind of ramp up a little bit. Like to me, that would be a pretty straightforward like translation of like what is, again, to me, the best elements of the Hitman's kind of comedy. As far as like when it doesn't work, I don't know. And again, like I don't want to go back to the clown thing that you brought up, Six. It's not even that it didn't work for me exactly. I just didn't really want to play it. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like I'm fine with the concept of it. I feel like I've actually maybe even warmed to it since we spoke about it and I kind of reflected on it, you know, because that's what I do with my life. But it was more just that like it didn't necessarily interest me as a player. But yeah, I don't know. You guys have already, I think, touched on, you know, like what I would bring up. So yeah.
As far as the way to capture it, I don't think I could do it in a full film. I don't know how to keep that. Keeping a joke going for a full movie is fucking hard. But I think what I would want to see, like, this is... I feel like Ryan may get this. There was a FMV game made for a Giant Bomb game jam that was Hitman themed. And the way they did that was basically they just like, it was clearly just a bunch of friends making this. And like their guy who was playing 47 had a squirt gun and like a surgical cap to pretend that he was bald. And it was just like, the most ridiculous parody, like the stuff that I feel like you could translate to film is the moments of, you know, like 47 showing up and saying like, "Hi, it's me. I'm Mr. Norfolk," right? Or like, there's a mission in Hitman 2 that we'll get to one day where, you can pretend to be a real estate agent and everyone doesn't pay attention to what you actually say. They just sort of like interpret it as like, "Oh, you're talking like a good real estate agent," when what you're saying is like, "It would be very easy to clean blood off of these floors." And it's just like, that stuff is what I would go for.
Yeah, it's this element of like detachment, whether it's like indifference or as we talked about, like, you know, it seems like you ought, you know, like you're in a position of power or, you know, whatever, like, you know, so people would be afraid to question like, "Wow, what is this person actually saying or doing? Like, does this make any sense?" Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever. Those are like, there's just like endless like opportunity for you to play up the comedy of that. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like it's one of the best parts of this game, you know, in the same way too. Yeah. You can, you know, like, massacre someone in the most like gruesome way, like send actor man flying into like a, you know, saw rig or whatever, and then people will still just be like, you know, making sure the, you know, the coffee's, you know, hot for the, you know, for the other actors and things. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, as they're, you know, cleaning, you know, the shreds of his innards up, you know, up off the floor or whatever. It's just, yeah, it's hilarious.
All right, next email.
Next email is from Rick. That sounded weird. Next email is from Rick. The next email is from Rick. Rick says, really enjoyed the previous episodes of the podcast. Thank you very much. As someone who at this point much prefers playing the levels very quietly at first and then escalating them once I've completed them silently, I have found just as much enjoyment out of seeing how you can tweak with the simulation in very small ways as well as blow it wide open. Sapienza is such a great map and is the most recent example of my use of Hitman as the best game at allowing me to be very stubborn as I finish a goal in a way I want to and not the way the game wants me to. There is a challenge on the map to kill a target with the church bell, and obviously they expect you to do it in one of the submissions that takes place around the search, or even set up your own contract to do it easily. But I was already in the main mission. I had a sniper rifle, so I went to work crafting the best way to pull it off. About 30 minutes later of picking off pairs of guards in the main plaza beach area map, the civilians will run to get guards from everywhere as you keep killing them, so eventually the Easter guys were coming up to remove the bodies. I triggered the private detective story so I could ambush their meeting and drag Delilah only from the pier to the church instead of from the compound to the church. Needless to say, I got a lot of dirty looks from a shotgun guy almost made it to me, but managed to leave her at the bottom of the stairs in the nick of time. Have the people on the podcast watch any Hitman speedruns. The ones for the trilogy of the games are worth tracking down. They keep getting lowered and pushing the limit of people placing people's eyes with precise bullet shots. And then they link to a Hitman 3 speedrun that I'll just put in the chat. Hitman speedruns, have we seen them?
I've seen a couple of individual levels. I've never seen a full speedrun. I've seen some of Paris. I've seen some of the first level of 3, both of which are just like, you can barely tell what's happening, right? Like, they load in, they shoot two bullets at random spots on the wall, they throw a bomb, and then they run to the exit. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is the level that I've seen. Yep. Well, the preview is, anyway, I guess. Marrakesh. I have not seen Marrakesh.
Yeah, I have not watched a ton of Hitman speedruns, but it seems like the most just precise, like, do the thing, mm-hmm. get out stuff.
Yeah, I'm continuously impressed because I think of this game as being, like, kind of finicky with, like, what, I don't know, like, with AI getting off loops and just, like, weird things happening, which tends not to affect, like, me, how I play the game, but you would think would affect, like, speedrunners a lot, just when something kind of, like, bugs out. But in the runs that I've watched, which I guess in fairness are not the failed runs, but, like, it seems to be, like, it's, like, things are just on lock at a level that is hard to square with, like, how I think of the game. But it's super impressive. I don't watch them a lot, but I think I've seen pretty much every level at this point, at least like a couple of times, just kind of in awe, mm-hmm. you know. Also, I just want to, sorry, the story that Rick sent in is awesome.
Yeah.
I just like want to say thank you for that. Like, I having spent like however like 20 hours or something playing this for the pod, I was able to like make like sort of recreate that in my mind, like as the story unfolded, and I'm like, yo, that's awesome. That kind of stuff is how I play the game. And yeah, I'm with you 100%.
I really cool. appreciate the context that I got there, because you know Ryan did call me out on straw manning a little bit there on trying to guess why people liked Sapienza, and I think Rick's email does a great job of highlighting like some things that I wasn't counting on. Like, one, you know, people who are like going out of their way to sort of make their own challenges, either just in the existing levels, which Sapienza of course has a lot of possibility space for, or people who are using the contracts mode, which I never use, but like, you know, the ability to just like go up and like, you know, kill an NPC and be like, okay, this is a mission now, right? Or like mess with that stuff. I could see Sapienza being incredible for that.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, just it's good at the things that I don't engage with in the game.
I might actually have to start experimenting with that. It's like not an aspect of the game that I like got into years ago, and I've been playing so like focused, like laser focused, mm-hmm. For our pod, that I feel like I might have like that to me, that might end up being like my favorite aspect of the game. Like, as I say, like abstractly knowing what it is, like at the present, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of my thing, mm-hmm. For this. So yeah. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see next episode how far I get with it, but.
Yeah. All right. Next email is from Taryn. Hey, Bald Gun friends. Just caught up on the pod and been having a great time listening to it along with following along in the game. Got a question for y'all. Sapienda has been one of those great video game levels that has been floating around on various lists for a good while. It's definitely impressive with basically this entire village built around the manor. However, the targets only occupy a relatively small space in it, staying within the first two floors of the manor outside of a couple of opportunities. There's an entire city hall which only exists for easy camera access and a quick gimmick disguise. My question is, do you prefer levels like Paris, where the main mission has the targets mostly fill that level space, but is a little smaller, or something like Sapienza, where it is much bigger and more complex, but that's mostly used in bonus missions or contracts? Thanks for the show, Taryn. I think we kind of hit that.
It's interesting because, like, there are... I mean, so far, you know, given the three levels we've done, my answer is pretty clear, right? But if you look at later levels that we're going to get to that I've played before, there are levels that the targets are way more isolated, right? There is, in Hokkaido, there is a target who literally does not move. And yet, I really like that one because I feel like there's a lot of, like, there is a lot of space and there are a lot of things, but there's stuff to do. Is sort of the thing to me, right? That's the thing I feel about Sapienza, is that a lot of the space I don't feel like is used very well. You can make a big level that's cool as long as I feel like there are things to do in it.
My standards, and to be clear, the only reason I'm coming in because we did talk a lot about this, but to me, that is setting up a bit of a false dichotomy. My issue isn't that it's big and sprawling and that that's somehow bad on its own. My issue isn't even that, like, oh, they don't use, like, a lot of these assets and a lot of this space, standard gameplay. You know, it's like one-off challenge or whatever. That's, to me, actually not the issue. The issue is how you get railroaded. When you go in to complete the virus, like, part, and, like, no matter what you've done for the rest of your, you know, level playthrough, you're going to be kind of going in one of, like, three or four ways, and that aspect of it. We've already talked about that, so we don't need to elaborate, but I want to be really clear that, like, that is why I personally, like, would put this, like, a little bit below Paris. It's not because it lacks focus. It's not because it's, you know, an uneven distribution of, like, you know, relevant to not relevant stuff. I like sprawling levels. I like Marrakesh, blah, 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 right? It's specifically the choke points and how it constricts, like, the flow of me as a player, like, moving through the level. And again, there are exceptions, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, last email from Nate, basically the same question. Nate says, hey folks, love the pod. In regards to Sapienza, it seems like unlike Paris, it has a lot of essential parts of a level that exist for various one-note items or information. Most of the time is visually impressive, but not particularly important, unlike the mansion lab area. Do you think this is a good direction for A-Man levels to go? Do you prefer tighter levels like Paris? But yeah, that is... Is this a good direction for Hitman levels to go? No.
I mean, it's also, I feel like it's kind of, I don't feel like I can think of through the rest of this game and into the next two, another level that feels to me like Sapienza. There are levels that are, like, similar of size, perhaps, but I feel like the possibility space is, again, filled with more things to do, right? I think, if I want to be generous to Sapienza, Sapienza is a necessary experiment to get to the better refined version of this idea.
for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I think for me, it's a clear no. It's not what we need, only because it's a waste of development resources. Like, if you have infinite development resources, then yeah, by all means, like, include, like, you know, let me walk through the entirety of, you know, the North American continent or whatever, even if there's nothing going on just because you can. But since that's obviously not the case, to me, it just makes more sense to, like, you know, focus on what's going to, like, ultimately offer, like, more value. Out of the investment. But yeah, I mean, that seems like an obvious answer. I feel like I'm going to be sitting on this. Like, I expect some people to be like, wow, they really, like, didn't give, I don't know, we didn't give this, like, a fair treatment, or we're looking at it, you know, kind of too myopically. Like, I expect to have to, like, defend my kind of, like, it's so super good, but not, like, Paris level. So yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be sitting on this for a month.
I think the hard part to remember is that we generally like this level. Except for the part where we have to play it for a podcast and, like, do a close.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, I think, like, generally, I think Hitman levels are much benefited from, like, when this game originally came out, where you were with a level for about a month, right? Before, you know, between releases and stuff. And I think that's very good for a lot of these levels. I don't think it's good for Sapienza. Which is ironic, given how many resources they poured into making it so big. But
yeah,
all right.
But yeah, it's okay. Ranking time.
What are our favorites so far? Personal rankings. We're not, like,
We're not doing game of the year.
We should do. we're doing. What are our favorites listed? We can exclude the tutorial levels. We can date conditions.
I mean, I'm going to include them, but you don't have to.
Okay.
Ty, why don't you go first?
Wait, am I missing something? This is our third episode.
This is probably a text message you missed.
No. Yeah, well, because I wasn't on my phone on chat.
We thought it was a good idea to do personal rankings for at the end of each episode, just to get a feel of what your
of the levels we've played so far
favorites were.
Okay, well, that's I mean, sure, that's really easy since we're only, like, three into it. I feel like it would be Paris, Sapienza, then tutorial.
Okay, yes. I say Paris, tutorial, Sapienza. I was very quiet when you're like, the thing is, we really like Sapienza, and I was thinking, like, I mean, the thing is, I don't like Sapienza. Okay, I don't like Sapienza very much.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Tutorial
right.
Over, Sapienza.
Yeah, okay. I feel like in, like, a couple of days after I'm, like, not burnt out, I'm gonna, like, see if I can, like, Sapienza ball myself. and just come back and be like, yeah, we're gonna episode 3.5 is Chaya making the case for why we were wrong. Or, you know,
I mean,
whatever.
Listen, I'll show up to fight you on that. I'll defend my venom. But next episode, we're going on to Marrakesh, Morocco, and A Gilded Cage. I don't believe there are any other... there's also A House Built on Sand. There's one other mission set in Marrakesh. But yeah, this is a nice big open city in Morocco. And we gotta kill some people.
That's
Hitman, baby.
Can't wait.
All right. Well, Ryan, where can people find you on the internet?
You can catch me tweeting about Nier Replicant at BluestRose430.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just teasing.
Delete the channel on our server.
Listen, I made it because you asked me to.
Has been getting great use.
It really has. It's been alarmingly popular. What about you, Ty?
Yeah, so I am on Twitter. I'm not on my main very much at Ball and Teshuva. I'm trying to use Chaya Games, Chaya Games, for just, like, gaming tweets, so I don't have, like, politics and Jewish stuff and, you know, everything, like, crossing streams or whatever. So yeah, check out Chaya Games. It's a tiny, like, no one follows me, like, it's fairly new project, but yeah, I think it's the best bet.
All right. If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at sixdetmar, sixdetmar. But mainly, I recommend scanlandmedia.com or patreon.com/scanlandmedia. You don't come to me for my tweets. They're not that good. You come to me because I'm on a lot of podcasts. And probably you come to me because you like people who co-host with me and then I do the editing, if we're being honest. You know, it's time for our classic sign-off phrase. Until next time.
Hold up. Pause. What was the Twitter account, Ty?
Chaya Games.
How do you spell that?
Chaya.
And then underscore games.
Okay, so.
I forgot the underscore.
Oh, underscore. Yeah. All right. Yeah. After this, I'm going to need you to look at the one that is one word. Okay, we got that cleared up. My bad. Go do it.
Okay, I looked it up. Yep. All right. God bless. Take care of yourself, please.
All right. Games, yeah. You know, have a good night.
Stay safe out there.
Yeah.
And yeah, until next time. I'll leave you to prepare.
Keep on golfing.
Sure. We'll say that every time. It'll make less and less sense every time. You're going to be like finishing up Colorado. Keep on golfing. Peace.
Peace.